السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام على سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلى آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. اما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أرأيتكم إن أتاكم عذاب الله أو أتتكم الساعة أغير الله تدعون إن كنتم صادقين، بل إياه تدعون فيكشف ما تدعون إليه إن شاء وتنسون ما تشركون. صدق اللہ العظیم. الحمدللہ و فضل کرم ان احسان و اللہ تعالی، وی فائنڈ اور سیلوز اگین آن اے مبارک ڈے آف جمعہ ان دا ہاؤس آف اللہ تعالی. آئی ہیو ریسائٹڈ ٹو آیات فرام سورۃ الانعام. اللہ تعالی میک اٹ اے مینز آف اور ہدایت، اللہ تعالی میک اٹ اے مینز آف اس گیٹنگ کلوزر ٹو اللہ تعالی. سو اللہ رب العزت is addressing the previous nations that if some azab has to come to you or qiyamah has to come, then at that time will you call on some other deity other than Allah Ta'ala? If you are truthful, in other words, give the true answer, then Allah Ta'ala himself answers that at that time you will forget all your false deities and you will call unto Allah Ta'ala. You will only call unto Allah Ta'ala. You will forget all that which you used to commit idolatry with. All that will be forgotten. You will turn to Allah Ta'ala. Because everyone deep down, they know that there is only one ilah. There is only one Allah. So Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions, there's a lot of explanation. Somebody very knowledgeable can explain it to us, they give us a lot of explanation. But we are just doing the translation to take a few lessons from these ayat. So continuing, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the previous nations, that Allah Ta'ala has sent to them before you, meaning before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before us, the previous nations, Allah Ta'ala had sent to them different difficulties. Ba'sa wa dharra. The Mufassirin, they explain the difference of the difficulties. What does ba'sa mean? What does dharra mean? But in simple language, different difficulties, whether it is poverty, whether it is ill health, whether it is wars that will take place, whether it is some calamity that will befall a person, things don't go right in one's life. But Allah Ta'ala says, why Allah sends all this? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. So that they humble themselves. Insan realizes that, see, I'm not in charge of my body. I'm not in charge of my wealth. I'm not in charge of the weather. I can't make it busy in my shop. So when things don't go right in a person's life, he realizes that, see, I'm not in charge. It is only Allah Ta'ala who controls everything. It is only Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala who can make things go right for me. All the days it went right, it was Allah Ta'ala's power, Allah's Qudrat, by the permission of Allah, things were going right. It wasn't my intelligence, it wasn't my strength, it wasn't the healthy foods that I'm eating, it wasn't the exercise I'm doing. No, it was nothing. All those are asbab, all those are means. But the only one who can make the means beneficial is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So a person now, when these difficulties take place in a person's life, first everything is going well, a person forgets Allah Ta'ala. Now some difficulties come, some trials come. Now this is supposed to conscientize us, that turn to Allah, become humble, humble ourselves. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَدَرَّعُوا. The Mufassirin explained what this ayat means, that when these difficulties came, then why didn't you humble yourself? Humbling yourself means what? Now I must submit to the law of Allah. I thought I'm too sharp. I thought I'm too intelligent. I went into a ghaflat or I became proud. So I distanced myself from the laws of Allah Ta'ala, from the sunnat of Habib Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All what he left for me, I left that. I supposed to be following that. I took to the ways of the kuffar. Even in things that are supposed to be of a deeny nature, there too I'm aping the kuffar. I'm aping their ways, I'm aping their dressing, I'm aping how they do business, how they have functions, how they pass their time. I'm not even fulfilling the farais that Allah Ta'ala put on me. The faraz namaz, which without that salah, the salah is like the head in the body. Without namaz, there's no body. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned very, very openly that that person who leaves out a namaz intentionally, in other words, he knows it's namaz time, he's awake, he's well, there's nothing stopping him, he can go for the namaz, and he still leaves out that namaz, then this person has committed kufr. It's committed kufr. And according to most of the fuqaha, they take it literally that he has committed kufr. Now what is serious thing? But when we look in the ummah, even this ibadat of salah, there is not that much importance given to it. There is not that much importance given to it. Small percentage of the community is paban on salah. The rest of us are in ghaflat. We're either in pastimes, or we're in business, or we're in some... We're not giving that importance to our namaz. So Allah Ta'ala says that, why didn't you humble yourself? In other words, why didn't you turn to Allah? Give up the wayward ways, make tawbah, make istighfar, put our life right. So what causes the person not to come right? Not to see the signs that Allah Pak is showing. So many signs Allah Pak is showing us. So many times we have come to the brink where we thought now this country is going into civil war. Well, now we're going to get wiped out here. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. So many times. You people are young. You won't know. The older people will know. How many times? In that 94 when the transition was taking place. Everybody thought now finish now. Finish. You know what's going to happen. There's going to be so much of bloodshed here. Allah Ta'ala give us a peaceful transition. So many times Allah Ta'ala brought us right there, where other nations came there, and it was a point of no return. The bloodshed took place. Kashmir, what happened, what is still happening? Sudan, what happened, what is still happening? Palestine, what happened, what is still happening? Burma, what happened, what is still happening? So many places. But we in South Africa, Allah Ta'ala took us right there. And then He turned the day for us. He turned the day for us. So many ulama, Abu Hazrat Mohammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and so many others, they keep on reminding us of the words of Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Now recently, about a month ago, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Patel Sahib, the brother of our Hazrat, he also spoke about it again. When Maulana Ibrahim Deola Sahib came, he spoke about it. That when Maulana Ali Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali went to Burma, and he saw how the people are living, in ghaflat, just chasing behind money, now opulence, yes, partying, feasting, bigger homes, better motor cars. Just that became the order of the day. Then he said to them that I see dark clouds hovering over you. Clouds of azab. And he said that I'm not making prophecies. I'm not making a prophecy. But if you see rain clouds gathering, you say it's going to rain. The signs are all there. If a lady is expecting, you say she's going to have a baby. You're not prophesizing anything. The sign is there that she's going to have a baby. So he said like that, I'm seeing how you're living. And I'm seeing dark clouds hovering over you, clouds of azab. Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Deola Sahib, when he came, one of his recent visits, and he went to one, two of our homes, Dawat here, there, and he saw how we're living. In Masjid-e-Hilal, he mentioned the same thing, that I'm saying to you what Maulana Ali Mia said to the people of Burma. But who wants to take heed? Who wants to take heed? We don't want to take heed. Why? وَلَكِنْ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ Your hearts have become hardened. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Bani Israel. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً That their hearts went away like rock, like stone. Today we are going away like this. Our hearts are hard. Any advice falls on deaf ears. If the ulama-e haq try to advise us, we want to argue. We want to give proofs from our side. And then people who are supposed to be people of ilm, they just come out with another fatwa, so everything becomes a difference of opinion. Just now, before this Qurbani, when we spoke out against these fairs taking place, all this fair and that fair, agri fair and this fair, just all mushrooming everywhere. So people want to argue with you. They want to put their dalils forward. They want to know, so where must the Muslims go? So what happened to the masajid? What happened to the places of deen? What happened to our homes? Have we become refugees? Now people are saying that go to Sherwood and go see how these bichara foreigners, how they are over there. How didn't we behave in exactly the same way when we went to the Agri Fest? I went past that place last night. All people standing there, tents there, people are standing around. They are standing in duk. They are standing because they are forced to do it, living there in the tent. But we voluntarily go and do that. Take our women folk, take our daughters, and go and parade there in these fairs, and the souks, and all these other things. And when this is brought to our attention, we want to argue. And then what they say, what's a slap in the face? But Morana so-and-so was there. Mufti so-and-so was there. Tablighi sahab so-and-so was there. Sufi sahab so-and-so was there. So this is the type of life we want to lead. We don't want to listen. We have become proud and arrogant. Our hearts have become hard. We must ask ourselves, if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, would he have sanctioned this? I mentioned in some other place, Kibai, you must see who you're taking your deen from. If you want to know whether something is okay to do, then ask yourself, will Hazrat Muhammadul Hamid Sahib do this? I mentioned in Stanger the other night that when you want a fatwa for paddle, then you go to that young mufti who just qualified now. He still needs to bloom. He still needs years behind him. So now he will tell you, no, you're keeping fit, boy. No, you're playing, you're keeping fit. It's jais. Nothing wrong with keeping fit. In fact, he may even tell you that, you know what, if you make niyat for jihad, you'll get sawab too. But will Mufti Ibrahim Salehji Sahib be there? Will Maulana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib be there? Will Maulana Ilyas Patel Sahib be there? Why they won't be there? We must look at our elders. Allah Ta'ala has given us these elders for what? If they not going there, then there's something wrong. That's why they not going. If they speaking out against it, then there's something wrong. But two things happens. Qasat qulubuhum, our hearts become hard. Why? Guna upon guna upon guna. Interest dealing. Eating doubtful and haram food. Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Sahab of the Majlis, from I don't know how many years he's cautioning us about this. He's cautioning us about this, the food, this eating out culture, just eating anywhere, everywhere. Women have become lazy, they don't want to make anything at home. And men have become gluttonous, they can't make do with little. We men, we have become gluttonous. No, we want this variety, that variety, that variety. So now I must go and buy everything. One apa was telling me, one of her students, she sent an email, one of her students who's living in Canada, that student was spent a little bit time here in South Africa when Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was alive. So recently she came to visit the country. So when she met her apa, she told her apa, she said, "You South Africans, too much importance you'll give to food. Everything is just about food with you people. What kind of life are you leading? You take all this pop-ups, this pop-up, this fair, that fair. What is the main attraction? Food trucks. We got no food at home. We have to all run food trucks. So, qasat qulubuhum, you're taking your woman folk. People are looking at your wife and your daughter. But you want to justify that it's right. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And shaitan beautifies the actions. That's why the person wants to justify. وَزَيَّنَ الشَّيْطَانُ. No, we're doing a lot of charitable work here. No, we're catering for the Muslims here. Whether it is the souk, whether it is our wanimas. No, when you talk about, no, when else are the families going to get together? No, I have to give my daughter a good send-off. I have to give my son a good send-off. Family get-togethers today have become another place of fitna, another place of guna. People say, no, Deen says you must have family ties. Family ties with be-pardagi, family ties with israf. For a family tie, you have to go and book one venue and spend so much of money. Take everybody out to one venue now, one hall, one farm, one this, one that. Is this what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us? Is this how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to live? Students of Deen also want to wear the fashion of the kuffar. Instead of coming closer and closer to the sunnat of Habib-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We too want to go closer and closer to the kuffar. Every sport of the kuffar we want to play. How much of fitna is surrounding all these sports? How much of fitna is surrounding all these sports? Even a blind man will be able to see it. But we want to justify it. No, we just playing for our health. You playing for your health. Your child, with what niyat he's going to play? Your neighbor is also with the same niyat. Once we make it common, Modi Sahib is there, Tablighi Sahib is there, Sufi Sahib is there, so it becomes justified for everybody to go there. So then that auntie with her tights is there also, because Modi Sahib is there. So this thing is fine, paddle is fine. Now even TV became fine, interest became fine, insurance became fine. It reminds of the words of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that towards Qiyamah, people will even drink wine. They'll drink wine too, but they'll just give it another name. This morning we were doing that one riwayat, that the shirarun nas will be left in the world. They will live like donkeys, fighting, arguing, committing zina openly, living a life of donkeys. So I explained to the students, it's not far-fetched. If Muslims can go till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the night, with their women folk and parading there everywhere, boys are meeting girls, looking at girls, men are looking at other ladies,
So then it's not far-fetched that the shirarun nas will commit zina openly. If Muslims themselves are holding these kind of events, Muslims don't want to behave. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So then what happens? فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. Now when they forget all that Allah Ta'ala has reminded us of, all Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, don't want to pay attention. We are above the law of Allah. We are our own rule book we got. We want to write our own Shariat we want to write. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah Ta'ala opens up the road for everything. And that's what we're seeing in South Africa. In Musnad Ahmad it comes one riwayat. Huzur Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that when you see a person, despite him involved in big gunas, he's living in a masiyat of Allah. And despite that, Allah Pak is giving him more and more. Allah is giving him more and more. This contract he's getting. From millionaire, he's becoming billionaire. From billionaire, he's going trillionaire. So then you must know that this is istidraj. Istidraj is what? In the words of Mahazar Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Ta'ala is giving him a rope. Take some more. Until you got enough to hang yourself. So, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبَوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Mahazar mentioned, when the person was a small working class man, he had black and white TV in his house. Allah gave him a better job, now he went and put color TV. Allah Ta'ala gave him his own shop, now he went and put one big cinema size screen with surround sound. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبَوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. Now when the person, he is riding the crest of the wave, he is so happy, having housewarming party for the house he bought in interest. He's calling everybody there to celebrate his war with Allah Ta'ala. He bought the house on interest, they're having housewarming party. He started the business on interest, and the whole town is congratulating him in the newspaper. Congratulations to so-and-so started this, so-and-so stuff, but started on interest. Today we are crying that now, oh, the foreigners. How much zulam was made on these foreigners? Made to work long hours, not paying them overtime. Not giving them any free time. Swearing them, shouting them anyhow. Why? Because they can't go to the union. They can't go to the labor party because they're illegally here. Now the foreigner is going. The foreigners themselves, just like us, how many of them came, got involved in zina? How many of them came not reading namaz? Just like us. I'm not pointing finger at them. What I'm trying to say is they had a ni'mat. And we also had a ni'mat. Allah is taking the ni'mat away. Zawal ni'mat. We must ask ourselves, few. Allah, don't just take a ni'mat away for nothing. We never made qadr of the ni'mat. They never make qadr, we never make qadr. So Allah Pak says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. Then we seize them all of a sudden. Now we worried about March for March and Dudula and what's going to happen 30th June. Not what's going to happen 30th June. Worry about what's going to happen today, Asr time. Why the masajid going to be empty today, Asr time? We worried about 30th June, Dudula. We're afraid of Dudula and March for March. But we're not afraid of the lati of Allah. The stick of Allah we're not afraid of. So Allah Ta'ala says, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Then they bewildered. They don't know what's happening. Go and ask the people in Burma. Go and see the people in the refugee camps. They don't know whether they're coming or going. What happened? What hit them? They don't know. Allah Ta'ala says, فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. They are wiped out.
In the words, in the tafasir come every last one of them. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So brothers, we need to reflect. We need to reflect. We need to make tawbah, istighfar. Each one of us, we know what wrong we're doing. Make ruju' ila Allah. The only thing that can save us is the help of Allah Ta'ala. Young people, sometimes they think, yeah, no, they must come, we'll show them, we'll show this dudula, how to dubula. They think, no, we'll show, we'll do this, we'll do... No, 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 no. They got a cry, they got a grievance, a valid grievance. Is, I don't want to talk politics. They doing what they feel they need to do. But must remember, everybody is controlled by Allah Ta'ala. Hearts are controlled by Allah Ta'ala. It's only if Allah Ta'ala's nusrat comes, Allah will save us. If Allah's nusrat don't come, go and ask the people in Chechnya. Go and ask the people in Bosnia. What they suffered. Go and find out. Check in Africa what has happened. We mustn't think we untouchable. Nothing can happen to us. If Allah Ta'ala wants, in a split second, we don't know what can happen. So we need to make ruju in Allah. And whatever other preparations need to be made, we must make all our preparations. In every field we must make our preparations. We must be ready in every field. Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.